Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And we're going to talk about some articles. We're going to do the ones on the bottom first, guys, and then we'll move up. So first of all, we've got Locktober, which is No Nut November's kinky cousin. It's kind of weird. Halloween isn't the only thing making people squirm in October. Locktober keeps genitals locked up into November. For the uninitiated, Locktober is the annual challenge where people willingly padlock their junk for 31 days. Cages, belts, hardware stores, chic devices that make the TSA scanners a nightmare. What started as a joke has grown into a full-blown season, complete with hashtags, leaderboards, and people bragging about how long they've gone without so much as a half-hearted tug. On Reddit's idiots trade pictures of their padlocks like baseball cards, logging the days since their last orgasm with a mix of pride and masochism. And the numbers keep climbing. Clips for Sale, which is the massive fetish marketplace, named Chastity its 2025 Fetish of the Year after sales of related content spiked 71% in 1 year. Interest is up another 22% this year in the U.S. Nebraska tops the chart where Chastity is the most searched fetish. Pennsylvania comes in hot, too, which once lived in the shadows is now showing up everywhere. You can view the full map here. So, denied orgasm, the entire body becomes an erogenous zone, Avery Martin said. Chastity is ultimately about submission, and as millions of people are discovering, giving up control can be incredibly sexy. Meanwhile, the manosphere has its own absence calendar event. No Nut November has bros bragging about semen retention with the same intensity they brag about bench press numbers. Adult director Aiden Starr once mocked the overlap, pointing out that kink subs and online alpha males are basically chasing the same dry spell in very different costumes. Google searches for Locktober are breaking records this year, which means more people are locking up and leaning in. The whole thing now rolls directly into No Nut November, creating a 2 month chastity marathon where America gets hornier by not getting off. Some people do it for discipline, some for control, and plenty for the erotic kink of being denied. Whatever the reason, October has officially become the horniest dry season of the year. Okay, so here we go. We've got, okay, we talked about this one already. This was the stripper that had been shot. So we, you know, we're
what?
Just...
Stripper?
No, it wasn't the stripper. It was the woman at the strip club, and the policeman flashed his gun and said, has she ever been...
Oh,
yeah,
I got
remember
you.
That? Yeah. Okay. So let's see what else we've got here. Sexologist explains why some people are able to do hands-free masturbation. Can we talk about that?
Well, I'm a hands-on kind of guy, but,
A sexologist has revealed why some people are able to experience hands-free masturbation while others may struggle. Like it says on the tin, hands-free masturbation is a way of reaching sexual bliss without relying on physical stimulation. I think we have looked at this one before.
I feel like it'd be someone that was really, really premature. Because they don't even need a hand on it to get off.
Oh, no, we have looked at this one. We did do that one before. So, again, folks, we're just trying to get rid of the ones that we've already done so we can kind of...
Yeah,
they're having a... They were having a sale. No, they're still having it. So, Jast is having a sale right now. You can pick up a bunch of...
Cosplay, cum dump.
Hot, yeah, really hot games for $10 a piece. I mean, originally $12. And these are straight up porn. Like, they're not even, like, there's no story. Bunny girl coming on my character. Like, that is all just straight up bad stuff.
Oh.
There's no story there. Because that's Cherry Kiss. And Cherry Kiss does nothing but fucking smut. That's all they do.
Well.
Alright. Truth about how... Now, this is weird. Truth about how steroids are turning men gay. Experts reveal all about wild sex and bedroom side effects users are too afraid to admit. I don't know anything about this because, unfortunately, it's this stupid Daily Mail Plus bullshit.
Yeah, it sounds like,
A bunch of crap as well. So we're going to skip it as well. Back to the Jast stuff. OnlyFans model arrested after her singer, boyfriend, and another musician are found dismembered in Mexico. An OnlyFans model has been arrested in Mexico after two popular Colombian musicians were tortured, murdered, and chopped into pieces by drug traffickers, according to authorities. Angie Miller was busted a day after the body of her boyfriend, Bayron Sanchez Salazar, known by his stage name B. King, was found alongside... Hold on, I think we're a little loud on this music. Just a little. Let's turn it down to about 20.
Okay.
30. Because I couldn't hear it at all. Now we can do it. Okay. Especially when it goes... Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that would be a problem. An OnlyFans model has been arrested... Okay, we talked about that. Angie Miller was busted a day after the body of her boyfriend, Bayron Sanchez Salazar, known by his stage name, B. King, was found along with that of fellow musician Jorge Luis Herrera Lemos, a.k.a. Reggio Clown, in Cocotitlan, just outside of Mexico City, on September the 22nd, according to El País. Officials have not revealed how they feel that Miller, who is famous for selling sex toys molded from her private parts, was involved in the shocking crime. However, she is believed to have been one of the few people to have known where B. King and his pal were going to be when they first went missing, according to NewsX.
All right.
Salazar, 31, and Lemos, 35, vanished on September 16th, days after performing together, and officials say they had been tortured before they were killed. Their remains have been cut into pieces, prosecutors said, according to NewsX. Another three bodies were discovered at the same location as the musicians, the prosecutors said. A narco message signed by the criminal group La Familiana, whatever that is, one of six Mexican cartels, declared a foreign terrorist organization by the U.S. government, was discovered alongside the victims, according to NewsX. Salazar's manager, Juan Camilo Gallego, told Colombian radio station Noticias Caracol that he was staying at the same hotel with them when they suddenly stopped answering their phones. Miller, who has more than 130,000 followers on Instagram and thousands more on TikTok, regularly posts photos with celebrities and appearances on Mexican television. She also runs adult content accounts and has been selling replicas of her private parts for about $220, with more than 1,000 reportedly bought through her website. Local media reported that Miller, whose real name is Angelica Yetzi Torini Leon, has been released as authorities continue to investigate. Colombian president blamed the musicians' deaths on the U.S. war on drugs in Latin America. They killed our youth in the United States of Mexico, an international mafia strengthened by stupid military and prohibitionist policies called the War on Drugs, which they are forcing on humanity and on Latin America, he posted on X. More young people are killed by an anti-drug policy that is not an anti-drug trafficking policy. Before I saw the picture, I thought it was Angel Reese. Another social media entrepreneur. Her influencing hasn't gotten her killed yet, but I bet she's next. I think we can safely say that it's wise to remember to stay away from the dismembering crowd.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, back at Jast again here. Teenage girls in China hospitalized with kidney damage after doing too many squats. Now, this was a while ago, but we haven't, you know.
What?
The benefits of squats may be nothing short of incredible, going a long way in sculpting a toned butt and legs, but sometimes seemingly harmless activities can do some serious damage. At least that's what two teenage girls in China learned the hard way after a competitive squat challenge caused them kidney damage. According to China Press, one of them named Zhao Tang, a 19-year-old student from Chongqing in China, challenged her friend to do as many squats as she could over video chat. The two girls weren't used to exercising in general, sweated it out for several hours in a bid to be crowned squat queen, and ended up doing 1,000 squats before they both mutually gave in. They went to bed feeling sore and tired, something that naturally happens to one's body when it's not used to exercising so much and then overdoes it all at once. Except they both woke up next morning in an aching pain, unable to bend their legs and more shockingly peeing brown urine. Turns out their squatting battle had caused some serious kidney damage. The girls were then rushed into the intensive care of the local hospital, where they were diagnosed with rhabdomyolysis, a serious skeletal muscle injury, and immediately hooked to an IV. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Don't do it all at once. Do it a little at a time. Build up.
While such a condition is rarely caused by extreme exercise, it is likely that overexerting your body beyond its physical capabilities can cause the condition. It's routinely treated by pumping intravenous fluids into your system to maintain proper urine production and prevent your kidneys from failing, but dialysis may also be given to flush out the waste material externally while the patient's in recovery. It's good to remember Colin's advice and exercise caution, not just with squatting, but with everything in life. Listen to your body. Don't be stupid. Now, this happened a while ago, so, yeah, a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, what do we got next? YouTube is releasing a new AI host, but that's going to talk between songs and you can't turn it off. And September the 26th, they launched this lab experiment. And it basically kicks in while you're listening to mixes or radio stations on the YouTube music app. It generates short spoken clips, adding fan trivia and background on songs or artists you're streaming. And it really sucks, but it's only on YouTube music, which I don't use, so I'm going to have to worry about. Just don't use YouTube music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're shooting right through.
Study reveals musicians don't experience pain like the rest of us. Practicing scales for hours might make your neighbors miserable, but scientists say it could rewire how the brain processes pain. A new study found that trained musicians handle discomfort differently both in their bodies and their brains. Pain usually shrinks the brain's body map, the region that directs which muscles move and when. That shrinking makes the pain feel worse over time. Non-musicians in the experiment followed this pattern after researchers induced temporary hand pain. Musicians, on the other hand, didn't. Their maps stayed intact, and the more hours they trained, the less pain they reported feeling. Musicians, even before the pain was induced, already had a more refined hand map in their brains, the researchers wrote in the industry. In the study. After pain induction, the maps did not shrink like those of non-musicians, and the more hours they practiced, the less pain they felt. To test the theory, researchers gave participants safe doses of nerve growth factor, a protein that creates soreness without causing damage. Volunteers lived with the ache for several days, while scientists tracked how their brains adapted using transcranial magnetic stimulation. For non-musicians, the discomfort quickly chipped away at motor control. Musicians resisted those changes. The findings add to decades of evidence that music alters the brain, influencing memory, coordination, and much more. Learning an instrument has been linked to stronger language skills, sharper motor skills, and even protection against cognitive decline as people age. Now, it may also help explain why individuals tolerate long-term pain better than others, suggesting that years of disciplined practice build neurological defenses most people never develop. This was a small study of 40 people, so no one's prescribing piano lessons as a cure for chronic pain yet. But the results suggest training and repetition can build resilience where medication often falls short. The team is continuing the study whether musical training protects attention and cognition under chronic pain conditions and whether similar effects appear in other disciplines that demand constant repetition like dance or athletics. Anyone who has watched a violinist rip through a concerto with tendons screaming might not be surprised. Pain is part of the practice, but now it looks like practice might push back on pain too and maybe give us new ways of thinking about treatment. That's kind of cool. And now we have more bad news. Argentina. A girl 15 and two cousins tortured to death in gruesome live stream killings inside House of Horrors. A teen girl and two female cousins were tortured to death in Argentina and the gruesome killings were broadcast live on social media. The dismembered remains of Laura Morena Gutierrez, 15, and Brenda Del Castillo, 20, and Miranda Verdi, 21, were found dumped in a well behind a house after the trio was allegedly lured into a van with the promise of attending a party. Gutierrez had five fingers on her left hand and one ear amputated before her throat was cut, Argentinian outlet reported. Del Castillo was stabbed several times in the neck and punched in the face before... Jesus, this is fucking maggot bait shit, but it's real. And punched in the face before her killers delivered a fatal blow to her face, according to law enforcement. After her death, her killers slashed open her abdomen. God! But Verdi was beaten in the face before her neck was broken. Their barbaric torture was live-streamed in a closed group on social media. The victims are suspected to have been butchered on orders of a Peruvian drug trafficker who accused the three of stealing a stash of cocaine. This is what happens to those who steal drugs from me, a gang leader is heard saying in the video. 4 people, including 2 women, have been arrested for the killings, which took place in a property dubbed the House of Horrors by Argentinian media. Yeah. In the town of Florencio Varela, around 16 miles south of the capital of Buenos Aires. Their bodies were discovered last Wednesday, 5 days after going missing on September 19th, with authorities saying the trio was killed on September the 20th. The gruesome slayings have sparked widespread protests across Argentina, with relatives of the victims speaking during a march in Buenos Aires. Women must be more protected than ever, Del Castillo's father, Liano, told reporters. He earlier said he couldn't identify his daughter's body because of the abuse inflicted on her. You wouldn't do what they did to them to an animal, the grandfather of the 2 cousins, Antonio Del Castillo, said in a tearful interview, branding their killers bloodthirsty. None of the 4 suspects have been publicly identified. They're expected to be charged on Thursday. I've been to ARG in South America. They did socialism a generation ago, and this is the result. Down there, the young adults known as the Lost Ones. The level of depravity there is like nothing you could ever see. Guess who founded the continent's downfall? Our enemies. To eliminate competition and ensure the Americas are destabilized. If the USA allows the left to rule this, our future too. We are the next domino. Look at what's happening to our young adults. I thought the Lost Ones were the people who disappeared when they criticized the government back in the 1970s, not all young adults. You are correct about the years during dictatorship, 70s to 80s. The term was resurrected and recoined, now associated with the cartels. I spent over 2 months in Argentina at different times, and yes, the vast majority of people are very European. Everyone thinks it's being full of immigrants from Spain. The fact is 69% of the population has Italian blood. Wow. So apparently these women could not find one example of violence directed towards men because they are women, so they are changing the narrative about these to fit their cause. These women were murdered because they sold drugs from dealers, not because they were women. That is true. You don't steal drugs from a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally in being a dick. That happens in being a dick where they beat the shit out of that girl. I mean, Nirvana defeats child pornography lawsuit over Nevermind cover. Okay, federal judge again threw out a lawsuit by a man who accused iconic grunge rock band Nirvana of distributing child pornography by using a photograph of him as naked swimming baby on the cover of its breakthrough album Nevermind. U.S. District Judge Fernando Olguin tossed out the lawsuit filed by plaintiff Spencer Eldon for a second time after finding that no reasonable jury would consider the picture pornographic. Other than the fact that the plaintiff was nude on the album cover, nothing comes close to bringing the image with the ambit of the child pornography statute. Attorneys for Eldon did not immediately respond to a request for comment on Wednesday. Nirvana's attorney, Bert Deitzler, said they were delighted that the court has ended its meritless case and freed our creative clients of the stigma of false allegations. The defendants included surviving Nirvana members Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic, late lead singer Kurt Cobain's widow, Courtney Love, and photographer Kirk Weddle. The lawsuit stemmed from Nirvana's use of a photo taken by Weddle at a Pasadena Aquatic Center in California that depicted him swimming naked towards a dollar bill and a fish hook. Damn, okay. Excuse me. Eldon, now 34, first sued the band and its label Universal in 2021, accusing them of sexually exploiting him through the depiction on the cover and causing him continuing personal harm. The case was dismissed in 2022 after finding his claims were time-barred without addressing the substance of the allegations. The Ninth Circuit reversed that decision in 2023. The same judge determined on Tuesday that the image could not be considered child pornography, comparing it instead to a family photo of a nude child babe. Yep. Okay, so we got another one. Pet owner. Enraged pet owner kidnapped driver who hit his dog, forcing him to dig animal's grave at gunpoint. An unhinged Texas man outraged that his pet dog had been run over and held the driver hostage at gunpoint and forced him to dig the animal's grave, according to police. Alberto Joshua Hernandez, 22, allegedly left the driver feeling scared to death when he kidnapped him while he was while he was pulled fixing his bumper after fatally hitting the dog driving home in Mineola on September the 8th, according to an affidavit. Hernandez stopped his truck behind the man's vehicle and pulled out an automatic pistol, according to police. He then forced him to pick up the body of the dog from a nearby ditch and carry it to his yard, according to police. I should shoot you now for it, the man said Hernandez told him, according to the document. He then confiscated the victim's keys and phone and kept a gun aimed at him as he ordered the man to grab a shovel and dig a grave to bury the dog. Once the dog was buried, Hernandez allegedly went back inside, came back outside with an AR-style rifle with two magazines. He forced the man to walk back to their vehicles and drive Hernandez's car to an ATM to get cash to pay his compensation for the dog's life. The man told police he was scared to death with Hernandez sitting in the passenger seat still pointing the gun at him and withdrew $200. Hernandez also allegedly took a photo of the driver's license and told him he knew where he lived. Video from the ATM allegedly showed the kidnapped man withdrawing money and handing it to the passenger of the vehicle who was holding a gun, according to police. The man later identified Hernandez as a suspect from a police lineup on September 19th, and his mother also testified that she had seen him with a rifle that day. Hernandez was arrested by police on Thursday and charged with aggravated robbery, aggravated kidnapping, and drug charges. He's currently being held in the Wood County Jail on a total bond of $660,000. I'm trying to find an issue with this, but I can't. No one loves animals more than I do, but if the dog's death was an accident, then Alberto's reaction was inappropriate, especially if the dog was running loose, and most especially if Alberto was deliberately allowing the dog to run loose. That said, if I were on Alberto's journey, I'd be lenient with him under the circumstances. The grief of losing a much beloved animal could understandably cause temporary insanity. Well done. 200 is a light for man's best friend, but it shows the guy is not an unreasonable maniac. The victim was threatened after fatally hitting the dog. Hernandez is not merely unhinged, but also has a driving dog unlicensed, we can assume. Maybe the judge will take the loss of such a special dog into consideration. So that's a driving dog. Okay.
Driving dog.
Yes, like a dog that he has in the passenger seat for because he's a special person, you know. Special, like me. I'm special. Okay, so, alright. Report. UK health agency cites benefits of first cousin marriage in bizarre report. Unsurprisingly sparks outrage. A major health authority has pulled its recent report citing the benefits of first cousin marriage after it sparked widespread outrage. The UK's National Health Service came under fire after publishing guidance that experts claim promoted interfamily unions despite well-documented concerns about the increased risk of birth defects.
Yep.
Research cited in the article, titled Should the UK Government Ban First Cousin Marriage, described various potential benefits of marrying a first cousin, including stronger extended family support systems and economic advantages, The Telegraph reported. But many were quick to point out the report, published by the NHS English Genomics Education Program last week, failed to properly assess the risks associated with having children with a once-removed relative. First cousins are determined as a relative who is a child of the parent's sibling. They also share a set of grandparents. In Australia, marrying a cousin is generally legal under the Federal Marriage Act of 1961, as there are no specific prohibitions against it. The UK and other countries across Europe take a similar legal stance, though the act is becoming increasingly scrutinized, particularly by doctors who warn that children of first cousins are more likely to experience an array of health problems, the BBC reports. In every pregnancy, there is a 2-3% risk that a child from two unrelated people will have a birth defect or disability. However, this risk will double to about 5% when the parents are first cousins. In Western countries, the practice is now widely deemed taboo, but in other cultures such as the Middle East, Africa, and Asia, it's still common. Cultures that practice and encourage first-cousin relationships have also been linked to the oppression of women. And since the deleted NHS article, it was explained that first-cousin marriages have been legal in the UK since the 1500s, when King Henry V married Catherine Howard, his ex-wife's cousin. It also noted that interfamily marriage had long been the subject of scientific discussion due to increased risk of inherited diseases and discussed other external factors like alcohol use during pregnancy, smoking, and the age of the parents. The report pointed out that none of these factors are banned in the UK. Dr. Patrick Nash, an expert on religious law and director of the Faroes Foundation Social Science Research Group in Oxford, called the guidance truly dismaying. Cousin marriage is incest, plain and simple, and needs to be banned with utmost urgency. There is no balance to be struck between this cultural lifestyle choice and severe public health implications that occurs, he told the Telegraph. The official article is deeply misleading and should be retracted with apologies so the public is not misled by omission and half-truths. The NHS has since removed the report from its website in response to backlash. The article published on the website of the Genomics Education Program is a summary of existing scientific research and the public policy debate, spokesman for the National Health Authority said. It is not expressing an NHS view. It is estimated that more than 10% of all marriages worldwide are between first and second cousins. Those stats are difficult to accurately record, since such marriages have long been an underground phenomenon, largely due to incest-related stigma. A U.S. state recently enforced new rules on first cousin marriage and life-changing attitudes. From October 1st, Connecticut has banned knowingly marrying a first cousin. Currently, 24 states prohibit it, and 8 states, Arizona, Illinois, Indiana, Maine, Minnesota, Tennessee, Utah, Wisconsin, allow it only under specific conditions. Norway banned cousin marriages in 2023, and a planned ban is set to take place in Sweden from mid-2026. There are now similar calls from the UK to follow suit, Conservative Party recently proposing a bill that would see an end to cousin marriage, amid growing public health concerns. However, there are some that argue legislation would be discriminatory and culturally insensitive, with experts claiming education is a better way of dealing with declining trend. In the midst of the public debate, Faz, a woman from Grimsby in Northern England, went public with a relationship with family member Annie at 18. But the couple have now found themselves at the heart of a barrage of abuse from mean trolls who have described their story as something from the 1800s. Posting on social media, Faz answered a question about how long the pair, whose parents are siblings, have been together. Only 2 months, we have to keep our relationship quiet because we're cousins. Alongside the short clip, Faz later wrote, as they say, keep it in the family, and added the hashtag relationship goals. Social media users were gobsmacked at the fact the couple are related, declaring it wild and shocking in the comments. I read cousins' marriage is widespread in the UK now because of migration from third world and Muslim countries making it mainstream there. So the science is pandering to immigrants. Yeah, the international media community.
They've got more problems than cousins.
Yes. The international.
The Muslims have taken over.
It's
the
really
culture.
Bad. It's they really said, bad.
They said English culture is a thing of the past.
Yes.
I hope not, but.
It's looking not looking way. Good. The international medical community has spent the better part of the last 5 years declining itself. Natural immunity doesn't count. COVID vaccines aren't harmful. Gender's assigned a birth. You can turn a boy into a girl. And this is more of the same. All turned to enormous profits. But dare to say that third world consultant who allowed his dangerous nonsense to be published is married to his cousin and thought police turn up at your house at 6 o'clock in the morning and charge you with a hate crime. Oh, man. Crazy. Crazy shit, man. So this happened a while back, but we gotta cover it. Brazilian bodybuilder stabbed to death by a jealous wife after she accused him of having an affair. A Brazilian bodybuilder was stabbed to death by his jealous wife after she accused him of having an affair, authorities have said. Walter de Vargas Aita, 41, was allegedly stabbed 21 times with a kitchen knife and the jugular, head, torso, arms, and legs during a vicious fight with his spouse, Carvalho Aita, at the couple's home in the southern city of Chapeco on September the 7th, Brazilian outlet reported. Gruesome crime scene photos show blood splattered across the pair's apartment and in the stairwell of their building where the bodybuilder had fled for his life before collapsing and dying. Carvalho had obsessively stalked her husband since March in the months leading up to the attack, trying to find proof of his infidelity, police in Brazil said. She drilled holes in the walls of their apartment so she could spy on him, photographed him while he slept, and sent him threatening messages, often ending with knife emojis.
Wow.
Audio recordings from police revealed that she told him he would pay for his alleged infidelity. Good gravy. While the bodybuilder was heard saying he couldn't go on living under the threat of being stabbed. Damn.
Yep.
Crazy.
Earl it down a little bit.
He told his wife that he planned to leave a letter blaming her for his death if anything happened to him.
She looked pretty cute. Except for the stabby part.
She believed that her partner had been having sexual relationships with other people for several months before the crime and, on more than one occasion, made clear her desire to kill him because of this, police said. Carvalho admitted to stabbing her husband 3 times but claimed self-defense as the knife had been in Vulture's hand at the start of the fight, according to the police report. However, police said Vulture was stabbed in his sleep first before trying to escape the apartment and crawling out into the stairwell, leaving blood along the corridors and stairwell, according to forensics reports. Witnesses reported hearing him cry, "My God, why are you doing this?" during the September 7th attack, for the details of which were only made available on Wednesday. The pair, who were married in 2021, frequently clashed in the past over Carvalho's engagement and religious rituals, she said. Carvalho was wanted by police in Rio Grande do Sul over attempted robbery for a 15-year sentence, according to police. Damn. She's been charged with homicide and remains in custody. Volter, who had represented Brazil in bodybuilding competitions, was a 5-time state champion and runner-up in the World Fitness Federation. He also worked as a personal trainer, sharing his training routines with thousands of followers online. Some people believe that death is an appropriate punishment for cheating. Even if you don't believe that, it's crucial to know that others do. The problem with that is all too often someone is accused of cheating when they haven't, especially women. What do you think? Be the first to comment. Even though I know it's not really the first post. Oh, I don't care about all that. Well, he was definitely on the juice if you look at the wedding photos and gym pic. That's just horrible. An angry female will often prevail in these scenarios, juice or no juice. She prevailed because she started stabbing him while he was asleep.
Yeah, usually. That usually will do it.
Yeah? I don't care how big your muscles are. If you're asleep and she's stabbing the shit out of you, there's really not a whole lot you can do. Scientists use human skin cells to create functional eggs, opening a door to new infertility treatments. Scientists have used human skin cells to fertilize eggs capable of producing early embryos, an advance that could expand possibilities for fertility treatment, according to new research. The proof of concept, remember this is just a proof of concept, published Tuesday in the journal Nature Communications, involved taking the nucleus, the part of the cell that contains most of its genetic information, from an ordinary human skin cell and transplanting it into a donor egg stripped of its own nucleus. The researchers produced 82 functional human oocytes, or immature egg cells, which then underwent fertilization in the lab. The result, an egg that shares DNA with the person who offered the skin cell, and that can be fertilized with another individual's sperm, as a milestone in developing a new approach to address infertility, although it will at least be a decade before the technique would be clinically available, according to Dr. Paulo Amato, a co-author of the study and a professor of obstetrics and gynecology in the OHSU School of Medicine. This would allow older women or women without eggs for any reason to have a genetically related child, Amato said via email. In addition, it would allow same-sex couples, two men, to have a child genetically related to both partners. The key challenge the researchers had to surmount was making sure the reprogrammed fertilized egg had the right number of chromosomes. Sex cells, sperm, and eggs each have 23 chromosomes, half of the 46 found in the ordinary human cells, such as skin cells. The team, based mainly at Oregon Health and Science University in Portland, devised a method to remove the extra chromosomes by mimicking natural cell division in a way that causes one set of 23 to be discarded, leaving a functional egg cell. The researchers dubbed the process mitomyosis. However, fewer than 9% of the eggs created during the study went on to reach the blastocyst stage of embryo development, equivalent to 5 or 6 days post-fertilization. This is the time when embryos are usually transferred to the uterus during in vitro fertilization treatment. Moreover, Amato explained that all resulting embryos were chromosomally abnormal, either because they had the wrong total number of chromosomes or not one from each pair. The embryos would not be expected to result in healthy babies and likely would all stop developing prematurely, she added. The study author said extensive additional research is necessary to make the technique safe and efficient before it can be used in clinics. Specifically, more study is needed to better understand how chromosomes pair and separate to create eggs with the correct number of chromosomes. Even in natural reproduction, only about a third of embryos develop a blastocyst stage, noted study co-author Shokrat, whatever the heck that guy's name is, director of the OHSU, Director for Embryonic Cell and Gene Therapy, in a news release. At this stage, it remains just a proof of concept. Proof of concept. Further research is required to ensure efficacy and safety before future clinical applications. An important beginning. Other experts in the field, such as Amanda Clark, professor of molecular cell and developmental biology at University of California, Los Angeles, are also cautiously optimistic. Clark, who was not involved in the new study, said although the research is an impressive advancement, the technology in its current form would not work as fertility treatment. All the embryos were genetically abnormal, therefore this approach will not and should not be offered in the IVF lab until technical improvements are made, he said. Nonetheless, because millions of women suffer from primary ovarian insufficiency where their ovaries generate very few eggs or the retrieved eggs do not work in IVF, Clark said that the approach reported in the new paper is an important beginning. To help these women start or build their families, transformative medical treatments will be needed as restorative reproductive medicine will not work, and IVF is reaching the limits for treating these types of infertility. The study made use of somatic cell nuclear transfer technique that was famously used to clone a sheep named Dolly in 97. In that case, researchers created a copy of one parent. Human reproductive cloning, making copy of one person with one set of genetic information, is prohibited in many countries. The new research resulted in embryos of chromosomes contributed from both parents. However, because the somatic cell nuclear transfer technique is associated with cloning, Clark said the regulatory barriers for moving this technology into clinical practice will be high. The breakthrough is exciting proof of concept, according to Yen Cheng, a professor of reproductive medicine at the University of Southampton and honorary consultant in reproductive medicine and surgery. While this is still very early laboratory work, in the future it could transform how we understand infertility and miscarriage and perhaps one day open the door to creating egg or sperm-like cells for those who have no other options, Cheng, who was not involved in the research, said in comments shared by Science Media Center in London. For the first time, scientists have shown that DNA from ordinary body cells can be placed in an egg, activated, and made to have its chromosomes, mimicking the special steps that normally create eggs and sperm, she added. Okay. So there you go with that. Okay, so there was also the... Trump was considering $2,000 tariff, but I'm not going to cover that. All right, we got a couple of here from Archive. If it loads. The bizarre way Gen Z is getting intimate without actually having sex. The eyes have it. Gen Z daters prefer their prospective partner's look, don't touch, while flirting, per eye-popping new data. The hands-off approach to love is all the rage among 59% of the 20-somethings who feel eye contact is more intimate than physical, according to the September 2025 report from Easy Contacts, an online eyewear retailer. Skin-to-skin is no longer in. Researchers surveyed 1,000 adults, including both singletons and sweethearts, to determine the impact that eyes and eyewear have on romantic connections. Eye contact can be a sign of confidence or flirtation, but it's also deeply personal, wrote study authors. It can spark a connection faster than conversation, create a sense of closeness in the first meeting. Investigators found that 62% of lady Zoomers appreciated eye-to-eye seduction over touching, slightly eclipsing the 55% of dudes from the demographic who, too, favored lusty stares over fondling. It's the fondness for contactless interaction that's rooted in Gen Z's disdain for inauthenticity. As folks under the age 30 continue moving away from dating apps, most of which offer AI-powered features such as generative chatbots and computerized wingmen, youngsters on the prowl are craving genuine, real-life experiences, potential paramours. Meeting in person and looking into each other's eyes can be a way people can build trust and connection, said the analyst, cutting through the online noise of insecurity. And much to the delight of glasses wearers everywhere, the experts discovered that the majority of daters have an affinity towards folks who sport specs. A staggering 58% of respondents said glasses make someone more attractive, the poll revealing that 69% of men and 49% of women get hot for the hardware. 46% of women, sorry. The specialists learned that glasses featuring the classic black frame exude seriousness and confidence, making them the go-to choice for pragmatic put-together image. Ah, what do you know? Classic black frame. Bold color. I like the black frame. I think it's perfect. I don't like the others. Bold, colorful frames, conversely, signify playfulness and extroversion. That's not just a sign of acceptance, said examiners of surprising discovery. It's a reversal of decades-old media tropes where TV, movies, and celebrities depicted glasses as a hindrance to beauty or confidence. It's a revelation that echoes recent data on long-touted yet inaccurate beauty standards for dating. A study in the British Journal of Psychology noted that when on the hunt for the one, people prioritize a mix of shared traits, personal tastes, and even subtle things like the way someone moves, smells, or talks over picture-perfect facial features. Researchers for Easy Contact agree. Okay. Dating isn't only about how we see others. It's about how we feel seen, said the authorities. Eyewear may frame the face, but the eyes tell a story. Whether it's intimacy of eye contact, the quiet signals of a frame style, what we reveal or conceal can shape connection long before anyone speaks a word. So that is interesting. Okay. And we are... That's just... Well, yeah, GOG, whatever. You know I'm there. By the way, guys, I'm a founder at GOG, which means I have a pretty special role. So, for those of you that don't know, GOG is doing a patron program. Basically, if you join the patron program, it's small right now, but when you join the patron program, you can get access to the server that I'm in. But I'm a founder. I've been there for a long time. They consider me, like, special kind of guy, and a bunch of other ones. We were there first. So, basically, that's why I do a lot of promotion for GOG, because, you know, GOG's had my back. They're really cool. I've talked to a lot of people there. They're good. The staff is cool. And I've had some DM conversations and stuff with certain things. So, yeah, I will definitely continue to promote GOG on this channel. And, obviously, there's all kinds of stuff. They're still doing a Not Safe for Work. You've got 56 minutes, so you might as well forget about it. You got 56 minutes to pick up these games. And, they had Subverse for $20, which is real cheap. But Book of Outcasts came out, and that looks pretty cool. Book of Outcasts, of course, with all the unrated. I didn't even get the unrated DLC yet. But, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff going on. So, definitely go to GOG and pick some of the stuff up. Always good sales going on there. I like that my stuff defaults to GOG. I'd make it my homepage if I could. So, okay. Adult virgins share these traits, and size does matter. It seems some people are too smart for sex. A new study has revealed that there's a lot more to it than being just a choosy bachelor or bachelorette. The researchers found that sexiness is linked to a mix of genetics, social quirks, and the kind of lifestyle choices that may make you the person that everyone swipes left on. A study published in PNAS... Yeah. Analyzed data from 400,000 adults, including 13,500 Australians and 405,117... 117 UK residents. Among the participants, 3,929 reported having never had vaginal, oral, or anal intercourse. And the findings paint, wow, there's 4,000 people that have never had vaginal, oral, or anal intercourse. And findings paint a complex picture of, that's a lot of people. I think they're lying. There's no way there could be 4,000 people that have never had vaginal, oral, or anal intercourse. And the findings paint a complex picture of the factors behind their sexless status, ranging from genetic traits to mental health conditions, regional influences, and even social behaviors. For men, factors like grip strength, body size, income, snoring, mobile phone habits, life satisfaction, and having someone to confide in were more strongly associated with sexlessness. Grip strength? Are we talking about somebody that has good grip strength or bad grip strength? Man! You got real good grip strength. I guess you're not gonna have much sex. In contrast, for women, work-related aspects such as hours worked were more closely linked to childlessness, though that makes sense, while income and presence of close, confiding relationships were more significant predictors for men. Meanwhile, for both men and women, these individuals also tend to be highly educated, introverted, and oddly enough have higher cognitive abilities. They're too smart to bother with sex. Dr. whatever the hell his name is, and lead author of the study, explained that traits like the early onset nearsightedness of wearing glasses could impact adolescent dating experiences. Wearing glasses at an early age, even though we just read an article that said opposite, and other stereotypically nerdy features may affect adolescent dating experiences, each wrote. This in turn... Oh, give me one second, guys. This, in turn, may affect one's romantic confidence into adulthood, Zeiss wrote. These traits, he notes, could affect social opportunities and ultimately romantic prospects. Sexlessness also appeared to correlate with various mental health traits, including a higher prevalence of... Oh, yeah, of course it does! Including a higher prevalence of autism spectrum disorder and anorexia. Interestingly, depression, anxiety, and ADHD were less common among those who had never had sex. according to the data. But the study's most surprising finding might be that sexless individuals were more likely to exhibit higher cognitive abilities, often linked to being highly educated or introverted. Behavioral patterns also play a significant role. Participants without sexual experience reported less time spent on mobile phones, fewer visits to friends and family, and a reduced opportunity for socializing and forming deep relationships. These patterns align with social isolation, which could potentially hinder opportunities for romantic connections. While the study found that genetics accounted for roughly 15% of the variation in sexlessness, the remaining factors were deeply environmental. Regional and socioeconomic factors appeared to have a significant influence on sexual activity, particularly for men. The study revealed that men were more likely to remain sexless in areas with fewer women and higher income inequality, suggesting that local social and economic environments shape sexual opportunities. Interesting. Zeitz also pointed to the interaction between genetic and environmental factors. The genetic correlation indicates that the genes associated with one trait are also associated with another trait, he explained. In this way, we found an array of interesting links between sexlessness and other traits. Okay. This study suggests that a combination of inherited genetic factors and social realities is responsible for a person's lack of sexual experience. As for the results behind the phenomenon, the study leaves many more questions to be answered. One key uncertainty is whether sexlessness is a voluntary choice or an involuntary outcome. The researchers are careful to note that only collected data on whether individuals had ever had sex, not on whether they desired sex. Many sexless individuals in the sample may be asexual, he said, acknowledging that the findings likely reflect a mixture of voluntary and involuntary sexlessness. In addition, the study raised the possibility that the lack of sexual experience may itself contribute to unhappiness and loneliness, or that these emotional states could make it more difficult to find a romantic partner. The researchers highlight the intricate feedback loop between social isolation, emotional well-being, and sexual activity. Though sexlessness is a reality for many, it's clear that the reasons are far more complicated than they might seem. Interesting, guys, interesting. Okay. Kids growing up playing Minecraft and Fortnite are particularly susceptible to this dangerous issue. Experts have long warned that spending a lot of time playing video games can increase anxiety, depression, eye strain, and the risk of developing obesity and other health woes. Research has shown a link between excessive gaming and another serious issue you might not expect, with one expert saying games like Minecraft and Fortnite are making some kids particularly at risk. In many ways, video games that young people played as children, many of which have loot boxes that can be won or purchased in the game to allow the player to progress, have primed them for gambling at a very early age by impacting their thought processes. The senior director for addiction services at Northwell Zucker Hillside Hospital told the Post. Young men are particularly vulnerable because of their prefrontal cortex, a part of their brain responsible for decision-making, risk evaluation, and impulse control, is still developing. A poll last year reported that 10% of men between 18 and 30 show signs of a gambling problem compared to just 3% of the general population. And that's what we're seeing, the young college-age group, Hugelmeyer said. These are those kids that grew up with games like Minecraft and Fortnite that are susceptible to this. Northwell's Garden City Treatment Center launched a gambling treatment program in March due to increased demand for these services. Just 6 months, the program has welcomed a dozen patients, from teens to people over 50, as well as family members, those struggling with addiction. This problem often takes the root before teenage years. Supposed seemingly harmless betting by age 12 can quadruple the odds that you'll have a gambling problem later in life. Exposure can come in many forms, including online advertising, social media, and video games with gambling-like features like loot boxes where players purchase or earn rewards. In 2020, the ESRB began requiring a new warning label for games with loot boxes, but critics say the move doesn't go far enough, as lawsuits continue to claim that video game devs create addictive gambling-like experiences that exploit users. For its part, the official version of Minecraft doesn't sell loot boxes. But some unofficial third-party multiplayer servers have offered them. In a setting, the FTC deceptive practices allegation, In settling the FTC deceptive practices allegations in 2022, Fortnite maker Epic Games said there have never been any pay-to-win progress, experiences, mechanics, play versus player experiences in Fortnite. And we eliminated paid random item loot boxes in Fortnite Save the World in 2019. Video games aren't the only potential issues. Sports show where betting lines are announced or scrolled across the bottom of the screen can also show trouble. We now have an entire generation that is growing up with this being normalized to them. That is repercussions. And with the convenience of online betting, it's really creating a very serious combination. She has shared warning signs that may indicate kids have a gambling addiction. Hugelmeyer knows these red flags don't always mean there's a gambling problem, but it's worth talking to your kids about the risks. Is it really worth calling out Minecraft when probably less than 1% of players would ever be on a private server with loot boxes and hundreds of addictive mobile games with gambling mechanics that are more harmful than Minecraft? Like gacha mechanics? Hello? China? My one kid is of the Minecraft and Fortnite demographic just started high school. Article is nonsense. Nobody said anything about gacha here. I guess they don't get it. It's gacha games, dude. Wow, look at this, guys. I was an OnlyFans star. Now I want to restore my hymen and return to my Mormon roots. Well, I bet you do. Man, we didn't cover this. I don't know why not. Coldplay. Ugh. Korn. Yeah, I'd go see them. As long as they play something off the Untouchables record. There's a lot of songs on there. I know they won't play the song I like, but whatever. There's a song off there, I can't remember the name of it. I know how it goes, but I just can't remember the name of it. Hollow Life. I love that fucking song. It's not one of their heavy ones either, just a really good song. Alright. Give me just one second, guys. I'll get back with you in just a minute. Okay. No. What am I doing? Alright. Yeah, I promise you this won't take much longer. Maybe. Yeah. There we go. Okay. So, Texas OnlyFans star is planning to undergo hymen restoration surgery in a bid to return to her Mormon roots, a decision she claims would make her late husband proud. I'm not doing this to undo my past, but to honor how far I've come, Holly Jane, 42, told Jam Press of her plan to wind the block back on her sex life. We're not winding back the block here. The 42-year-old mother of three describes herself on her website as your favorite next-door MILF, claims she was kicked out of a church when they found out about her OnlyFans. Well, yeah, they kind of do that stuff sometimes in church, you know? Not... They don't really take kindly to that kind of behavior in church. Now she hopes to surgically wipe the slate clean, an idea she said came to her during prayer like a divine directive. I had a moment in prayer where I felt God speak to me saying, "You are not broken, go and be restored," recalled the born-again virgin who shares salacious snaps to over 1.6 million Instagram followers. That moment gave me everything I needed. To renew her V-card, Jane plans to undergo a hymenoplasty known as a hymen repair, in which the surgeon sews together the torn edges of a woman's hymen with dissolvable stitches. She views the procedure would cost a cool $3,000, a sacred rebirth. However, Texan insists that her vaginal rejuvenation op is not meant to shame or judge people who enjoy sex, but rather about restoring a sense of freedom. The skinfluencer explained that she already made her peace with God about how she put food on the table after her husband died in an accident in 2017 at just 31. This felt like that final layer of the healing, said the widow, who insisted she's not trying to erase her wonderful deceased husband and what they had. On the contrary, I believe that by doing something to strengthen the faith we both shared, we are brought closer together. And though he's no longer with us, she said, I know he would have been supportive of what I want to do. Jane's decision might have been divinely inspired and tied to her late husband. She claims she's not going under the knife of the church for any man. For the church or any man. I'm not preparing myself for someone doing this. Excuse me. I'm not preparing myself for someone or doing this for the Mormon community, said the penitent cum pornographer. I've already been judged by my church. I let go of the need for their approval a long time ago. I'm finally treating myself with reverence. She said she hopes that her saga will inspire others who struggle with shame, claiming the church says purity can be lost, but I believe purity is claimed. It's not about your body, it's about your soul, she said. Living in truth, refusing to hide, and forgiving myself for burdens I was never meant to carry. That's purity to me now. This isn't the first influencer who's attempted to surgically restore her virginity. Last year, a Brazilian influencer announced plans to revert her pre-romp days by dropping more than $19,000 on a vaginal rejuvenation operation. Yeah, too late for that. This isn't a video game where you just get the reset button when you don't like the outcome. Actually, it has consequences in real life and some can't be reversed. Yep. Boy, would life be easy if you could undo past decisions by spending a few dollars. Why Gen Z and millennial women are rejecting once trendy breast implants and face fillers, just not into overdoing it anymore. A new glow down driven by social media and celebrities has Gen Z and millennial women striving to reclaim a more subtle, natural look by dissolving filters and even removing implants. Patients today don't want to look different, they just want to look better, plastic surgeon Dr. David Hidalgo told the Post. They're just not into overdoing it anymore. Orlando native Stevie Hatch first went under the knife at age 18, transforming from not even an A cup breast to D cup with 450cc. After 16 years, she ditched the implants completely a year and a half ago. That's 16 freaking years! She's 38! I had kind of outgrown what they represented. You were no longer on the freaking... What do you think happened? She was no longer on the carousel, guys. I got them to feel more confident, but some of that is shaped by cultural narratives and the male gaze. When I got implants, it was me originally, but the size was not for me. Hatchie works in corporate sales, so the explant surgery was like a reset. Removing my implants wasn't about shame, it was more reclaiming myself, she explained. I wanted to come home to my body, and it did feel like a homecoming. It felt like the absolute right thing to do because it was sort of shedding a past identity. She posts about her experience on TikTok and says her video still gets comments on a daily basis from other women thinking of ditching their implants. And several celebrities have made headlines for ditching their overdone looks. OnlyFans personality Sammy Sheen, the 21-year-old daughter of Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards, decided to remove hers. And British Love Island dissolved her fillers. And Olivia Culpo had her lip filler dissolved last year. 33, 32. I mean, they get older and yeah, it's no longer working. They take it off. I think we're entering an era of transparency, reversal of fillers, especially lips and cheeks. Central Park South cosmetic surgeon Dr. Lana Chuck told the Post. The industry is really heading towards more natural regenerative procedures. She attributes the recent surge of surgery and filler reversal to social media and celebrity influence. Riley Warnick, an esthetician in Salt Lake City, Utah, recently decided to dissolve her lip filler. She first started injecting her lips in 2020, but says it really quickly turned to constantly chasing that fresh off-the-needle look. It's really easy to get facial dysmorphia and constantly think you need to be doing something to your face to be improving it, but it can really quickly get out of hand, she said. A 28-year-old realized last year that she was overdone and her lips were losing shape, so she dissolved all of her filler. I realized that if you start fillers really young, it can make you look a lot older than you actually are. And give you a more mature look, Warnick told the Post. She says, being free of the needle has been liberating. I love looking more natural, and I love the simplicity of not having to get my filler touched up every 6 months. Dr. Hidalgo describes this appearance as filler fatigue. Patients do filler for a long time, sometimes get to the point where it's just overdone, they don't look natural anymore, and they abandon the whole thing. Hidalgo reports recently noticing a huge influx of people wanting filler dissolved at his Upper East Side practice, as well as women looking to downsize breast implants to much more conservative sizes. Shannon Wilson got a breast augmentation in 2021, found the implants impeded her ability to move freely. I've always been a runner. I've always been a soccer girl, and as an athlete, I was just so weighed down. I was uncomfortable. I wasn't able to perform. After less than 2 years, she was back at the door getting an explant surgery. I was very self-conscious, Wilson 30 of Jupiter, Florida said. I didn't like how I looked at all. You have these 5-pound things in your system. It didn't look good and didn't feel good. I'm completely confident and I feel very good, she said now. I'm team small boob or just natural boob. She blames the male gaze? When will all these young women take accountability for their actions? Do men blame women when the female gaze for the female gaze as the reason they work out to get 6-pack abs and chiseled chest? Reminds me of that line in As Good As It Gets when Jack Nicholson's character was asked, how do you write women so well? His response, I think of a man. Then I take away reason and accountability. Nothing has changed. This isn't just Gen Z and millennials. This fake look is going out of style. I am Gen X, had in place for 12 years and moved 5 years ago. I've never had fillers and have no plans to. Duck lips are not attractive, never were. I'm glad these younger generations are breaking the trend, however. That's pretty funny. Rodney Dangerfield. Last time I saw a mouth like that, it had a hook in it. Okay, that's kind of funny. That was funny. Okay. So what else do we have here? Well, we have we got an announcement a little bit. So first of all, guys, I don't know if it's going to be there. We'll check it. But, no. I don't want to go to my library. Oh, okay, cool. I was looking for... All right, here we go. It's not here yet, but it will be. Let's see. I don't see it yet. Top sellers, featured games. I don't see the main game. Top freak. Where's the big game? Okay, so anyway, what I was trying to say is Fresh Women Season... Okay, so the final game comes out on October the 23rd. That's Thursday. We are breaking off, yes, breaking off of our Arrow Gay coverage to bring you a fucking long video of Fresh Women Season 2. And not only that, guys, but we are going to get the supporter edition of the game, which has some extra features. So you'll be able to purchase the game here on Opiman or Steam, and you'll be able to purchase both the original or the the supporter version. And I'm getting the supporter version because I want the full features of the game. So what else do we have to talk about? Well, we've got to talk about this. This is the AVNL Times. So basically, this is a free monthly magazine where we review and discuss adult visual novels. So, yes, there is a freaking magazine, community run, by the way, all about the games we cover. Like issue 8, for example, the newest one. See? You can actually kind of read it here. See? You kind of see what it looks like. Looks like a real magazine, doesn't it, guys? Yeah, it is a real magazine. Very well done. And it talks about all the different games. New games, games we haven't played, games we may never get to. If you want to know all about what's going on in the AVN world, you can pick up these freaking things. So basically, let's see. Let's go back to the main page. So, alright, releases. Let's see. So there's 10 issues that you can download right now. All of Volume 3. Volume 2 you can't get anymore, I don't believe. Of course, you can do it like that, too. But that's all you got for Volume 1. Well, they actually have all the issues. It says, we recommend starting with Volume 1, number 16. For Volume 2, number 16, we start including options. So here you go, guys. You can actually look at all of Volume 3, which is their newest one. And there's a lot of stuff. Like, they do developer interviews. By the way, there's a really cool one. The 50 greatest AVN of all time. They talk about all of them. There's games we've played on the channel several times. Being a Dick, of course, on there. There's a war on not-safe-for-work games, obviously. That's why we brought down the Arrow Gay on BitChute. Not playing that anymore. how to work in Dad's studio. For those of you that want to make a game, there's tutorials that kind of teach you how to do this stuff. It's not easy. And some new games. Look at that. Pale Carnations. I wonder. Maybe something's going to happen with Pale Carnations this week? This coming up week? I think so. I'm thinking about it. But, yeah. So, pick this up. It's free. It's always free. And it's a full magazine. Like, it's literally always free. And there's How to Fix the Future. And, of course, you have... I wonder how far... We can't go that far. But, by the way, these are in PDFs. So, basically, you can get them in the Spreads version or the Pages version. So, if you want to read them on... Like, just like we do with the comics. You can either do where it's two pages on one, or you can do it as where it's separate pages, like we do with the comic books. But there you go, guys. That's what I want to talk about. So definitely check these out. I mean, why not? They're free. And by the way, they have some really cool renders that the community makes of all different characters. Sometimes they're developers, sometimes they're fan art. Everything is made in Daz, though. And there's some styles in Daz that you don't know are even being done. There's some 2D stuff that really might surprise you. There's some games that I looked at and I'm like, wow, I can't even believe they're making that. So definitely check some of these magazines out. You know, they are, like, it's literally Playboy as far as the articles. Like, you have articles to read. They're there. I mean, they're definitely there. And, I mean, this is just showing pieces of it. But the issues can be about 26. This issue is 129 pages. But that's basically because it also has all the different, of course, the 50 greatest AVNs. They have 50 pages where they have... Well, some of the games get, you know, more than one page, obviously. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a community effort. You can actually support it, and you can freaking write for it, too. Yeah, you can literally write for it. It says, what was the one? Contribute to the mag. You like writing about AVN? Do you want to get your opinions out there? Then we're looking for you. So, here's what Grimm said no to. I get all this. I've done all this shit. But, voluntary work. I'm done with voluntary work, guys. I've done voluntary work for 10 fucking years of my life. I love this stuff, but I don't love it that much. I would rather promote the games like I'm doing right here than actually have to write. I'm going to leave that to the writers. I really love what you're doing. I used to do what you're doing. I did it for Metal, though. And I did a little bit of AVN coverage. I did a really good AVN article for Fua Novel. So I'm really proud of that one. But... I don't want to do anything else. Not for free. But I'm really glad that, you know, they want people to work on these and all that. And that's cool. So, alright, guys. That's all we've got to talk about today. And I guess we will see you guys next time on the Grimm Articles Show with the more recent articles, which I guess I'll be adding to because we didn't get to any of those. All right, so I'm out, and we will see you next time.
Later.